Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. Enjoy the show.
What are traditions? What kind of traditions do you have at home? Or
for
like
Lent?
For like Easter.
Easter traditions. Mm-hmm.
Mm, dying eggs. None. Who can afford that this year?
Well, yeah, that's
no one's dying that joke eggs will be anymore.
What,
by the time
what are you, a Rockefeller? You bought a dozen eggs?
Look if at I them, ever, they fancy over there.
I found one online. If I win the lottery, I won't tell anybody, but there will be signs, and it was somebody frying like six eggs.
Yes, that right would be a sign.
Right on. When the kids were little, we would you had to do the Easter baskets for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the church and doing like an Easter egg roll or an Easter egg hunt.
Yep.
Is something that we've always done.
Mm-hmm.
And Atonement does Easter big. Like,
yeah.
We don't have an Easter vigil. We have like an Easter egg extravaganza.
Extravaganza. Is that coming this year?
Egg scramble.
I always get it wrong. It's called the Easter egg scramble. I always call it extravaganza.
Well, it used to be egg extravaganza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We left. They got rid of it.
Wow.
They upgraded.
I'll see you later.
Yeah. I just work here. I don't
know. Is that happening this year?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Oh, yeah.
Is okay. The Pope Catholic?
The Saturday before Easter?
Saturday before.
Yes.
11
yes,
to 1 p.m.
All right.
Whether or not it's indoor or outdoor.
That's TBD.
Time will tell.
Yeah. At this point, who
there
knows?
There'll probably be a little bit everywhere.
Yeah.
Inside, outside.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, everything is the way it has mm-hmm. been. We got the services noon and six all through Lent, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, then the Easter egg scramble on Easter Vigil, which is the Saturday. It's also known as Holy Saturday or just mm-hmm. the Saturday before Easter. Then we have the Easter sunrise service.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we have like, I think four Easter Sunday services. So there's five services all together.
Okay.
Including the Easter sunrise.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Three in the sanctuary and two in the ark.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's some people that are just like our family is a Christmas Eve
mm-hmm.
family.
Yep. Mine too.
There's
mine
probably too. Some that are only got to do the sunrise service.
Yeah.
You could not pay me enough.
Why? That's late that in is the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, for you.
Gosh, you're ready for your nap at that point, aren't you?
He's getting lunch ready at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Been out in the field already.
He's been functioning.
Day's usually half over by then.
Is yeah, that mine, honestly by 5:30 or 6:30? Is that when you finally make your cup of coffee? Are you drinking water up until that point?
No, no. Usually 4:30 or 5 is the first cup of coffee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what it sounds like, Ryan, is if Amy Okeson or Lisa Hansen are looking for volunteers Easter Sunday for that sunrise, they can call the Jean K family.
Well, they could call one of us.
Hold on. Okay, don't
no,
be.
It, I heard it here first. Ryan just volunteered his entire family for the sunrise service.
There'd be one
Tab,
of us.
If you have to be mad at anybody.
Yeah. What about, I always watch The Passion of the Christ that weekend.
Yeah, that's burned
Ryan,
into my
brain. You're
about
the only person that does that.
I
watched that when it came out in mm-hmm. the 2000s, and I haven't watched it since. I watched it on the big screen and was so mortified, and like I said, it was burned into my brain that mm-hmm. I've never watched it again. But I know exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And I read the book.
Uh-huh.
So.
I've heard a lot of people now, though, who are watching, I'm pretty sure it's the newest season of,
The
Chosen.
Mm-hmm.
That like that's becoming their Easter tradition.
Oh, is.
Like binging the whole season?
Yeah.
That's not a bad
mm-hmm.
idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, are you watching The Passion again?
I'll watch it again sometime Easter weekend, yeah.
Okay. What is it about The Passion that it has become a part of your piety, of watching that specific movie?
The visualization and just realizing what happened.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's... Yeah, it's violent. If you haven't seen it before, it's...
Well, it's as violent as it probably was mm-hmm. in real life. I mean...
Yeah, yeah the attention to detail is quite disturbing.
Yes, it is.
Have you guys seen it?
No.
No, because I was not allowed to, and then I've kept that.
Mm-hmm. Mom said no. I actually wonder if it's able to stream anywhere.
I don't...
Maybe.
I doubt it.
I was a youth director in the Twin Cities at the time, and so we went and watched it on the big screen in, it doesn't matter, but in St. Paul. And Afterward, we went back to the church, and it was just silence mm-hmm. for 45 minutes with a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah.
Just like, what did we just see?
Yeah.
That was pretty meaningful. But I will say that after seeing it once, I'm like,
that's good.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I do read something every year, and it's become a tradition of mine, of my most influential of teachers, Gerhard Fruedi,
mm-hmm.
wrote something called Caught in the Act, and it talks about the work of Jesus on the cross. I read that every year.
Okay.
And usually we'll end up, spoiler alert, if you come to a Good Friday service where I'm preaching, it will be expressed in that message.
Okay.
So.
Did you find it?
It's only able to rent.
Hmm.
But you can rent it through like YouTube, TV, Google Play Store, all that stuff.
I got a hard copy for you if you don't have it. Like, I have the movie. I just,
yeah. I do, that's almost
the harder task of needing to find than a DVD player.
Yeah, right. That's what the Xbox is
that's
for.
That's why I have a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same.
Yep.
I have a DVD all player.
Those. Sarah's the only one with an actual.
Nice. Yeah,
I need it for my Christmas movies.
Of course.
Oh, yes.
Of course.
Okay. What about you guys?
I don't have any. Nothing.
I don't think we have, like, we have the same usual kind of meal. Mm-hmm. We always go to church, and but yeah, other than that, it's just time for family together.
Mm. I mean, since I've started working here, my mom will always come, and then we'll go out to eat afterwards. But other than that, like,
does she come to worship here?
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to meet your mom.
What? She's literally been here every Easter since I started.
Well, I'm usually like kind of busy at the time.
You also, you're usually down there, and my mom's usually
gotcha.
He's running.
I met your grandma.
Yep.
But I've never met your mom.
Huh.
So I met your grandma.
Yep.
And I don't know if I met your grandma or your mom.
I have none left.
Well, there you go. Someday.
Like, actually, no, my parents came up once for Easter, but that's about it. And my dad, I love my dad so much because you can tell he is raised very hardcore Catholic. And he went, like, even though we grew up going to contemporary worship.
I was
going
to say, did you go to that
one? We went to that one because that's where I would prefer to go to the Ark. And he goes, it's a little too rock and roll for me.
It's kind of loud,
like,
isn't it?
He's like, why is it so dark in here? I'm like, yeah, I probably should have taken him to the other side. Pulled out the, you know, good old green books, and he would have been in
perfectly fine
place.
He's a little bit country.
Yeah.
Not a little bit rock and roll.
Not really.
Well, that's the thing where, so my mom will always go to contemporary. Mm-hmm. But then the one time that my grandma's here, I made sure that she went to that one. And she's like, well, which one does your mom usually go to? So I brought her down there, and she saw the rock wall, and she was like, you guys have church in here? I'm like,
Yeah, you can
have church anywhere.
Yeah, Grandma, it's okay. Like, it's fine. She was just like very weirded out. Yeah. Like, oh, it's so much bigger in here. But she's like, it doesn't have very much light. And I was like, I mean, I don't know
what
that
wrong
means.
Yeah. She's not wrong. Mm-hmm. But
I was like, the lights are on in here.
Yeah.
My grandma digs it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She loves it.
My mother-in-law also has become very much, she likes the more contemporary. The funny thing about modern, it's funny, we actually have them misnamed, and I learned this from, I hadn't really thought about it before, but he's right. Nikki Gumbel, who created the Alpha series, talks about the different kinds of worship, and he's like, mm-hmm. you know, people get all tussled up about how they worship. You know, some people are really into that modern worship where they fold their hands when they pray and they play that newfangled instrument called the organ. Because that's really contemporary worship. Early worship, they raised their hands when they prayed during Jesus' time. And the instruments they played were a form of guitar, drums, and singing. So which one is classic and which one is tradition, I guess, right? So, you know, you can get lost in that kind of stuff. Yeah. But really what it comes down to is your own personal piety and language of worship, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some people know hymns, some people like songs, and it's okay. Yeah. It's all good.
I'll tell you what, if I could, like, design a Sarah DeYoung church, it would be just, like, camp style around the fire, like, worship service.
Cowboy church.
Okay. No, like true, like, yeah, you're, like, church camp. Church.
Yeah.
That would be my church.
That'd be your jam.
Yep.
Would it have a jingling Johnny?
I don't know what that is.
So well, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. Because even I know what it is, and I've never seen it.
It's a Jarl original instrument that he created.
Is that the stick with the jingle bells?
That's the stick with it, yeah.
Yep.
Jingling Johnny.
Yeah. No, it'd have like one person with a guitar. That's it.
In fact,
it was cards with the words on it.
It was like knee-jerk reaction. As soon as you said that, the first thing that popped in my head was, now set your rule, and like, bang. Yeah.
With the jingling Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pavlov's response, yep. We respond to bells.
Yep, exactly.
Well, I don't know. What any other traditions for... The tradition for Lent is the Lent drama
mm-hmm.
and soup.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And do you guys give anything up for Lent?
Have you? I actually started, this is probably more information than people want, but I actually started the first time in my life fasting last Lent.
Mm.
And the reason I did it was because of health reasons, but I've stuck with it. And now I do a weekly fast for 24 hours.
Mm.
Tonight I'll start it. Thursday night after my last meal. Until Friday at dinner time is when I'll eat again. And I found that like inflammation and arthritis mm-hmm. and stuff like goes away.
Yeah. Yep. There's
I started that during Lent as a spiritual practice. And I'm like, mm-hmm. this is actually really making me feel better.
Yeah. There's a lot of benefits to it actually.
And then Friday people come to church with all kinds of goodies and it's
like, why would you pick Friday? That's not the best way to do that. It's a true challenge.
I guess
that's right.
If I can survive Fridays, yep. I can do anything.
That's good times.
So that's just the thing that I stick with is I stick with that. And I'm trying to read more. I'm actually reading two books right now during Lent that I'm seeking to finish. I got C.S. Lewis. Mm-hmm. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Uh-huh. Has read his stuff?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Only those.
Only those. Well, I've wanted for a long time his collected theological works. And one book that he's very famous for that I know all about it, but I've never actually sat down and read it, is called Mere Christianity. So I'm reading that, and I'm reading a book called The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, another one that I haven't ever actually sat down and read cover to cover, but I know a lot about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's been kind of my... Lenten discipline is reading a couple of books and mm-hmm. continuing with fasting on Fridays.
Okay. I gave up trying to figure out what I want to give up.
How's that working out for you?
That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel at peace. Yeah.
Can you stick with it?
Actually, that was my Ash Wednesday. I was tasked with coming up with the question and song of the day. And my question was, what are you giving up for Lent this year?
Mm.
So, what was the song? Had some good stuff.
Yeah.
What was the song? Man, I can't remember. But the last one was We Are Young by Fun. That was my song of the day.
So did you get some interesting call-ins to that question?
It was Billie Jean. Billie Jean was my song of the day.
Did you get some interesting call-ins to answer that
question? Yeah, there was a lot of people give up pop.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good one.
So I can't remember anything else that really stood out.
Have you ever... When I was in high school, I would give up pop. The mm-hmm. first time I tried a Lenten discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And... I was on a youth retreat, and I think it was at 12:01 at night, uh-huh. after the 40 days, mm-hmm. I think I guzzled a Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
And I haven't been normal since.
If you drink a lot of pop and you give it up, you have to supplement it with some sort of caffeine, otherwise you're going to be in trouble for a while.
I'm drinking Mandarin Orange Seltzer Water because I gave up pop New Year's.
How is that going for you?
Well, I was pretty addicted to the Diet Coke. I'll admit it. I had a problem.
Uh-huh.
I was buying them in like 40 ounces and sipping on them all day long. Because, you know, it's, holiday would 79 mm-hmm. cents, all you can drink. It's like, how can you say no to that?
That's why I don't go in there.
It was a smart move. So I stopped drinking Diet Coke and soda altogether, but I still get the sparkling water.
Yeah.
So I'm drinking Mandarin Orange Seltzer Water. It tastes like flat... Sunkist.
Oh.
And they have a lemon lime one that it tastes like a flat Sprite. I don't know what it is. I just realized just how weird I am. It's just I need to have something that doesn't taste like water, but is water that gives me the illusion that I'm having something enjoyable.
A placebo effect.
So.
You're not having to put food dye in it to make it look like Diet Coke, orange. So you're good.
I'm good. It was hard the first, 3 weeks. I remember we podcasted. Uh-huh. I didn't even notice.
That's Diet Pepsi, so it's no good.
It wouldn't count. But I think last time we podcasted, you had a Diet Coke, and I just sat here like, Diet Coke.
DJ had the intrusive thoughts to not steal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
what if you shall not steal? You shall not covet your neighbor's stuff.
that's good. What else you got? You had a bag full of questions, you said.
Mm-hmm. I got a bag full of goodies. Well, I'll go where you guys want to go, because we have been talking about, the last couple of times we talked a little bit about stuff in biblical critical theory, and as I go through it, I'm like, this is really heady, okay. And I've been busy with other stuff, but just lately, I've been looking in and about things about the spiritual realm.
Okay.
And so we can talk about one of two topics probably for the time frame. One is if you guys want to talk about what a covenant is, we can talk about that.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what's coming up next in biblical critical theory. Or we can talk about what I've been really interested in lately, which is like the mind and consciousness and these things that we take for granted, but like, where do they come from? Mm-hmm. What are they? The soul is another one. So,
well, if that's what you're interested in, let's do that one.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the stuff I've been reading lately. Like, we've been doing the sermon series, Did Jesus Really Say That? And they've been, these things keep coming up because those are some of the texts that were like, I don't really understand what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, last week it was, I heard Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. And so there was all questions about that. So it got me doing research into, well, who is Satan? What are these things called demons? Mm-hmm. What are these things called spirits that the Bible talks about? And it was really interesting and fascinating. And I realized that there are things in our culture that we understand these things to be, but we've so Hollywoodized them that we've lost the original kind of intent behind these beings, what they actually do and how they function. Does that, am I vague enough or?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start there.
Okay.
Cool.
I'm going away from mind to, but it plays into it. So, I'll start in a different place. Okay. So there's a guy, a very famous philosopher.
Plato.
No.
Okay.
But he made really good stuff for kids to play with.
Till it dries out.
Till it dries out.
True.
Or gets in your carpet.
Never tasted well.
No, it doesn't taste well. You eat Play-Doh?
I don't think so. But I didn't really eat things that I didn't know there. I still don't eat things.
Do any of you guys speak Francais?
Nope.
Oui.
Au Francais?
No, you don't. No,
I don't.
So it says the guy's name is Rene Descartes, which I think is Rene Descartes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's French. Does that sound right? Yep. Ever heard of Rene Descartes?
Descartes.
Why do you have to pick French as your...
Because he says this great quote that I think is a great way to understand the mind.
Okay.
And consciousness and the soul.
Okay.
This is the phrase of Descartes, which we're still kind of wrestling with today. He said, I think... Therefore, I am.
That was him.
That's
said
a
that?
Famous one.
I thought that was Billie
Eilish.
That
song. I was gonna say I like that song.
Great minds think alike. Obviously, you know.
Great song.
I thought you guys would know Descartes over Billie Eilish, but apparently, you got to know your audience.
Yep.
So I think therefore I am. So when you guys think of like the mind, where do you think the mind comes from? Or just answer the question, like, what is the mind? It doesn't matter what the answer is. I mean,
it's the center of it all. It's like the command center of your being.
Nice.
The brain is an interesting thing. Because we all have a brain, but we don't all believe the same. Like, we all have a hand, right? Or most everybody has a hand. And it all serves the same function.
If you're human, you have the potential for a hand.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
So you can open a bottle or you can do like it all does the
opposable
same.
Opposable thumbs makes you human.
Right.
Yeah.
Important now, thing. Some people can like play the piano and other people can't, but that comes from your brain.
Right.
So, everybody's got a brain, but everybody's brain is different. It's kind of interesting.
Well, or even like diving deeper on that, if you think about like psychology type of things when you think about, right? It's pretty easy when you think about, oh, I've got a cold. I'm going to get rest. I know how to care for that. But not everybody has the same or even close to the same answer of how to care for their mental well-being or mental health.
Right.
Right.
Because it's all in what you're allowing yourself and what your brain allows you to do and know.
So is your mind the same thing as your brain, or are they different?
Technically, no. Your brain's an organ.
This blew my brain when I heard the actual like scientific reasoning, and I'm going with science here, not philosophy or, or religion. Mind and brain, according to science,
aren't they different?
Are not the same thing. Yeah. There's evidence for your mind that's separate from your physical brain.
Right.
But we've just associated the two together.
Yep. Yep. Because the understanding of the mind is something that is not necessarily needing science to be explainable. Prior to like the scientific revolution, we all understood the mind. If you were, especially if you're a human, mind and consciousness and soul are very similar terms, depending on how you talk about them. And they are all something that is separate from your brain. And the evidence for it are things like all of the tests that have been done on like brains and how people function depending on how much brain they have or how much they don't have. When we talk about being a person, like if you had to have a brain surgery, and they had to remove so much of your brain, like let's say you're an epileptic, to get the epilepsy to stop. This is I think a good way of talking about this. Let's say you had 47% of your brain removed. Are you still a whole person?
If you had, it depends on what you mean.
What do you mean?
If you had your hand amputated, are you still a full person?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the question.
Right.
That's the philosophical question.
Yeah.
And what would you say?
Physically, no.
No, you're not a full person. You're less than a person.
Physically, yes.
So if I went in to vote, I'd be like getting 7/8 of a vote. Because I'm 7/8 of a person.
No, see now that's where that's not.
You can't quantify it,
right?
You can't quantify it into like fractions,
right?
So you would still say that you may feel like less of a whole being, but you would still consider yourself 100% Ryan Janke, even if you didn't have a hand,
right?
Yep.
Does that make sense or not? Or no, did I just offend half the population?
Yes, but it makes sense.
Yep.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Unequivocally.
That's what the 7/8 is where we took a little bit of a turn. Yeah,
that's,
like,
that's what I
do. No. But it's, I mean, these are the things that are necessary to think through when talking about these terms.
Now, as far as what happens to your mind.
Right.
If they take, which 47% did they take? Did they take your frontal lobe? Because that's going to change your personality in a hurry.
Sure. But does it change you as a person?
Depends on, well, yeah.
So,
yes.
Even the language personality and person, there's been studies about people who have, for example, had major brain injuries and have lost memories. Are they still a person?
They're still a person, yes.
Even though they've lost their memories. So their personhood has been changed, but they're still a person. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I never said that they weren't still a person if they lost their hand.
Well, and my point being is that, so just on a philosophical level, what we're talking about is that we recognize something separate from and apart from the quality or quantity of this organ we call the brain. Okay? And the reason is because unlike other creatures, as Christians, we confess that we're made in the image of God, and that means something very specific about us. We're able to do something that, as far as we can tell, animals cannot do.
As far as you can tell.
Yeah.
As far as we can tell.
Unless we're watching Disney.
We don't know. Who knows?
Well, I will tell you that I've read a lot of the studies and tests, especially on animals that are considered closest in genetics to humans being the great apes, that even great apes, we're not convinced yet, scientifically speaking, the scientific community is not convinced that they have self-awareness as we understand it as humans. So,
because my dog has self-awareness.
Right. He's aware, but what is he aware of? That's always the biggest question. It's like, can you think about your thinking? Like animals think.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely,
but are they
think.
That they're thinking?
But are they aware mm-hmm. that they're thinking?
Right.
Do they contemplate and spend time judging and and reforming the thoughts that they have? Or is it all a response to stimuli outside of themselves that forms who they are? Humans can change the entire makeup of their brain by internal stimuli rather than outer stimuli.
Yeah.
That's what Descartes is talking about. I think, therefore I am. And so when you talk about mental wellness and so on, a lot of what the science of behavior psychology has discovered over the last 100 years of doing all kinds of tests, some of them very icky, like, you know, electrodes in the brain that we're going to hit this point, we're going to hit that point, and maybe you'll have some kind of ecstatic experience. What we found is that the internal experience of your mind can hit points on your brain, but it's not the same stimuli. It's not like the brain is causing the awareness. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Yeah. Is your brain responding and then your mind, or is your mind responding and it's having an effect on the brain?
Isn't it technically the egg?
She gone.
It's T-Rex.
Yep. Nailed it. Move on. But that's the issue with the mind. The mind mm-hmm. is something that science cannot explain. And uh-huh. and even the best Darwinian evolutionists have been like, this might be something we just can't explain. And what I find very ironic is that, so you're saying that you can't explain the mind, but when we look at science and we try to explain everything, we assume that for a scientist, that your mind, your personhood, comes from your brain, mm-hmm. but you don't actually trust your brain because you don't understand how it's coming to the conclusions it's coming to, and yet you rely on your brain to make decisions and to create discoveries like technology and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The same allegory would be like, Dana, you work with a computer a lot, right? Mm-hmm. How do you know you can trust your computer?
Because I'm nice to ChatGPT and AI.
Right? How do you know you can trust it?
Because it works.
And why does it work? What's the assumption that you put behind all the technology that we have? Why do you trust it, that it's going to work?
Because we do, DJ.
Because they're good and nice. And they always help us. Did you
and
hear that?
Them.
I, for one, am looking forward to our Amazon overlords.
I think it's going to be great.
The point being is that if our brains are all mm-hmm. that make up who we are, yeah. our self-awareness, and that's all there is, mm-hmm. then you have to extrapolate the whole logic of that it came about through random processes through over millions, if not billions of years of evolution to come to the point where you are self-aware. Mm-hmm. And yet science can't explain how that is even possible, that inorganic particles and atoms and so on over billions of years of time would develop something as complex as self-awareness.
Well, and I think it's also the hardest
thus consciousness.
Answer for humans is, I don't know.
Well,
and that's the full stop of...
Full stop. And yeah. and it brings up a great question, because what is the assumption? You mentioned ChatGPT. What is the assumption about AI?
That it will gain consciousness. And
sentience. where does that idea come from?
Because we have consciousness. And
it
sentience.
Comes from the Terminator movies in the 80s. But where does that idea come from? It comes from a Darwinian principle that if
things
we came
evolve,
about...
Right.
through random processes, mm-hmm. as our brains evolved over time, suddenly consciousness came from. But there's not one place you can go in your brain and say, ah, that's where consciousness comes from. They've been mm-hmm. looking for years. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's where consciousness comes from.
Mm-hmm.
What we've discovered is that when your brain is active, it's firing in all different kinds of places. Mm-hmm. And you can even remove chunks of your brain and still be identifiably you mm-hmm. and your personhood. You might have some personality traits that would change, but you're in essence you. You're still a person.
Yeah.
And we make the assumption that with enough time and with enough data, we'll have machines that will become conscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, full disclosure, ChatGPT is really just a very complex searching machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very, very complex Google. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And the only information that it can give back to us is a reflection of the information that's put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what puts information into anything?
Humans.
A mind. So a mind is like an intellect. That's mm-hmm. that's what's meant. It's a non-physical being or thing that is able to input information that causes something to respond. You follow me that far?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The only things that we've seen in like nature that could do that are things that have that come from an intellect. Like if we were looking for like out in the desert, and all of a sudden we came across this rock that had these intricate scratchings all over it that seemed to be making a pattern, and it's cut in the shape of like an iPad, this mm-hmm. big stone. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't go, oh wow, that's amazing! Look what happened after millions of years of erosion,
mm-hmm.
that the sand just carved mm-hmm. this intricate little puzzle that means nothing because it's just random, but it looks like it means something. Or would you go, oh, look, some ancient civilization carved that. So who carved it?
A mind.
A mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Intellect was, information was placed upon it. That's the problem with a total physical understanding of the world. You can't trust something that comes about from random processes because, how do you know that it's worth trusting, that it's going to be able to actually carry out the purpose that you want it to carry out? Are mm-hmm. Did you follow me that far?
Yeah. My only question is,
and honestly,
no,
only halfway.
Okay. All right.
it sounds like it's not going to be long before AI can recreate itself.
Well, that's the guess, but I don't know. The more I've been reading about this stuff, I'm like, I don't know if it's even possible to get to a point where AI is artificial super intelligence, where it has like the futurist Ray Kurzweil said, by 2050, mm-hmm. the average computer will have the computing power of all of the brains on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It said by 2019, the average computer would have the computing power of like, I can't remember, like the 2019 iPhone, you know, that's old data now,
mm-hmm.
but it was super powerful for its day.
Yeah.
By 2050, the average computer will be like all the computing power of all the human brains on Earth would fit in a computer. Great. But will it be self-aware?
Sentient.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. And frankly, the evidence doesn't seem to be mounting that it will ever get there. Like, you have businesses that are pushing it. It's the next big thing that mm-hmm. we're going to have, you know, artificial general intelligence. We already have AGI. We have mm-hmm. that. You have it in your phones.
Yeah.
It's a search engine.
Yeah.
What we don't have is a self-aware program or machine that is, that's a mind, is its own mind.
Yeah.
And we may never get there.
I don't ever. Know.
It may not be possible. It's kind of like, remember back in the day, one of the big things in science, a big science in the 1600s, 1700s, was called alchemy. You know mm-hmm. what the whole purpose of alchemy was?
Did you just say remember back in the day and then reference the 1600s?
Yeah.
That's why you look directly at Ryan, not at us.
He knew what I was talking about. Yeah, back in the day.
We're down.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm old.
Do you know what the science of alchemy was trying to do?
No.
Yes, turn things into gold and make the internal.
Turn what into what? Turn lead into gold.
Turn lead into gold and then like the fountain of youth.
Yeah. Do you know who wrote papers on alchemy? Sir Isaac Newton. And what was discovered is that it was a dead end. It's not possible to turn lead into gold.
Right.
The same thing maybe with sentient AI. It's just not possible because it's not a brain that creates consciousness. Consciousness comes from something a priori, either before or separate from the physical machine of a brain.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of That Podcast. Don't forget that you can find us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either here at Atonement, 4601 South University Drive in Fargo, or online at atonement.live or atonementfargo.org. We also have a YouTube channel where you can find our services live or a wide variety of resources. Again, that's YouTube, atonement.live, or atonementfargo.org. So for all of us here at Atonement, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another riveting episode of That Podcast.